All right, Proverbs 22 tonight, if you would. Proverbs 22. Been in a series on Christian living, kind of swapping around on different subject or titles, Proverbs 22. I was going to put some pictures of people up on the screen tonight, and I decided it was too much work, so I didn't do that. But if I were to mention Hillary Clinton, all right? Now, how many of you know who she is? Okay. Now, if I were to ask you, and please don't share with the class, if I were to ask you your opinion of her, what you thought of her, I'm not trying to be funny, you would have an opinion, wouldn't you? If I were to put a picture of Donald Trump up there, how many of you know who he is? You may have read about him. He's been in the news. You would have an opinion about him. If we were to put a picture of Taylor Swift, that's the only younger culture that I know anything about, all right? And she's closing in on 40. So many of you would know who she is, and you would have an opinion of her. And we could go on, couldn't we? We could list politicians and other people that we could put pictures up there. When you see them, it would elicit an opinion, wouldn't it? What, are you with me? Amen. And, of course, I guess the big question is, and we never stop to think about, is what if it was me? What if it was you? What if we showed people where you work your picture? What if we showed your family, or we showed people in your neighborhood, or if we showed people who knew you, we showed them your picture and said, what do you think of this person? Well, that would be something, wouldn't it, to find out? We might be thrilled. We might not want to know, all right? And it's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. If you look in Proverbs 22, we're just going to look at one verse, and then you can be seated. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. We're going to work on this thought tonight, something more valuable than gold that we all can have. You may not own any gold, but you can have something more valuable than gold, according to the Word of God, and we can all have it, all right? So we're going to talk about that this evening. Father, we pray that you be with us as we look into your Word and help us to understand this truth that we might all have a good reputation, a good testimony before others, because we know we can't be a witness for you unless we have a reputable reputation. And so I just pray that you help us to see how important that is as we live our life in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for remaining standing, I guess, for God's word tonight. Something more valuable than gold that we can all have. All right, if you're tuned in, let's do it one more time. If you're tuned in, say amen. All right, you were singing so well, so don't bail on me now as we get into the message, into the Word of God. I want you to notice, first of all, with me, we're going to see three things tonight, if we get that far. The first of them is something of great value. Something of great value. And if you notice in our text in verse 1, Solomon mentions there that there are two things, according to the Word of God, that are of great value. Two things that are extremely valuable, according to God's Word. First of all, he says this, that it is a good name. He says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, those of you who have been around for a while and know your Bible a little bit, then you know that when we talk about a name in the Scriptures or a name in the Bible, it's more than just a title. It's more than it is in our culture. In our culture, a name is simply nothing more really than a title that we're known by. It's the way we are. Now, your parents may have chosen your name for a particular reason. You may have, if you were born after your parents got saved, you might have been named after a Bible character or something, or maybe someone in your family. But oftentimes in our culture, people just pick your name because they like your front, middle, and back name, and they all line up, and they like them. So that's why they choose them. Then they get married if they're a girl and mess it all up. But at any rate, we choose names because we like it. But in the Scriptures, when we talk about the Bible, in the Bible, a name is often representative of a person's character. It reflects the kind of person that they are. The names mean something in the Scripture. And of course, one of the most obvious and well-known is Nabal over in 1 Samuel 25:25, where his own wife, the word Nabal means fool, and his own wife said of him, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. He's a fool. He was rightly named, his wife says. And of course, you can read that sometime and figure out why if you don't know why. But again, the names in the Scriptures mean something. And so they're not just a title as we use them in our culture. Now, when it comes to God, we're encouraged in the Scriptures to praise his name. And the Bible talks oftentimes about the name of God, and we're encouraged to praise His name. Because in the Scriptures, His name is not just a title, it's a representative of His person. It's representative of His character. It's representative of who He is. And when we hear that name, just like the names I mentioned tonight, and I could have mentioned many more, but just like the names, when I mention them, bring certain opinions and certain thoughts and certain thinking to mind when we name them. When we hear God's name, it's supposed to bring also certain thoughts to our mind. It's also supposed to bring a certain opinion of who He is. We should think of things like holiness. Righteousness when we think of God. Love. All these are all things, are all opinions or thoughts that God's name should elicit in us, because again, names are representative of who a person is. Certain thoughts of holiness, as I said, for example. And I'm not going to turn to these because you know them already on a Wednesday night. The Bible records statements like a name above every name. His holy name, holy and reverend is His name. Another one is His name alone is excellent. And so there's all types of references to His name. Now that's important to us, not just for theological purposes, but it's important because He is very protective of His name. As you know tonight, one of the Ten Commandments is that we're not to take His name what? In vain. We're not to uselessly use His name or to abuse His name, because God is protective of His name. And the reason why, again, is it's not just a title, but it's reflective of His character. His name is part of who He is. And so we're not to use His name vainly. We're not to use, I think, you know, even, we certainly shouldn't use it as a curse word. Say amen. We shouldn't use it as a form of excitement. Can't think of the other word I was going to use. We shouldn't use it that way. I don't think we should use His name or Jesus' name in jokes. Amen. That's a vain use of God's name. God's very protective of His name. And that's important for us because He's protective of His name, which means that God will never do anything that will diminish His name, or nor will He ever do anything that's contrary to His name. And that's important to us because we oftentimes fail. Come on, we oftentimes fail. We mess up, we sin, and we fail. But God always keeps His promises. And how many times do we use in the Scripture, reading the Scriptures, that He doesn't do it because of how great we are? He does it for His own name's sake. He won't violate the promises He made to us because He's protective of His name, because it's representative of His character and who He is. And so the name of God is important to us. Now in our text, in Proverbs 22:1, a good name in this passage refers to our reputation. It refers to our reputation among others. The kind of person that those we come in contact with in the course of life see us as. It is our name is our reputation. It's what comes to mind when people think about us. Amen. That's this idea of a good name. Now, reputation, the word reputation or the idea of reputation is always tied to character. Our reputation is the person that we are in every situation and among any group of people. That's reputation, character. Again, all go together. It's the estimation by which people view us, or it is the estimate by which we are held. Solomon uses the phrase good name. We could use the word reputation as Christians. We often use the phrase testimony or the word testimony. It is our testimony. Our testimony is how others see us, how other people view us and understand us. Now, we ought to strive, I would think it would go without saying tonight, that we ought to strive to have a good reputation. Amen. We ought to strive to have a good testimony with everyone, if it's at all possible. But it's especially important and most valuable around those or among those who are authorities in our lives. You know, it's not that it's unimportant what our peers think of us, but it's extremely important, our reputation among those who are authorities in our life. It's more important what your parents think of you as a young person than what your friends think of you. It's more important what your pastor, your Sunday school teachers think of you than what your peers think of you. And as adults, it's more important in a secular sense, it's more important what our boss thinks of us and our work ethic than it is what our fellow coworkers think of us. And so it's extremely important that we have a good reputation, a good testimony, but especially among those who are authorities in our lives, because they are really the ones who matter the most, especially among those who are good and righteous and godly people. It's so important that it's so much more important to have a good reputation among good, godly people who love the Lord than it is some lost coworker. Does this make sense to us? To have a good reputation, a good name, to be known as someone who is of good character. So the first thing that we see that is of great value, he says, is a good name. He says, this is of great value. Then secondly, he says, not only is a good name of great value, but then secondly, Solomon says that, or mentions, that also something else that is also of great value is to be viewed with loving favor. He says it's of great value to have a good reputation, a good name, but then it's also of great value, he says, to have be of good favor. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So while a good name refers to our reputation, refers to our character, our testimony, loving favor refers to how people feel about you. You know, there is a difference between your character and how people feel about you, or what people think about you or think of you. And so he says, he ties the two together here. You know, it is to be well thought of. It is what we would most closely, here you go, what we would probably most closely refer to as popularity, to be well liked. It's to be popular or to be thought of as popular, what people, how people view us and how people think of us. And I think most of us, I think most of us want to be well liked. I think, or at least we probably prefer to be well. I'd rather be well liked than hated. All right. And so I think if you prefer to be hated, or if you don't want to be well liked, you'll probably succeed. All right. At that. But if you don't want to be well liked, well, then there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with desiring to be unlikable. You know, some people do it on accident, but there's something wrong with you when you do it on purpose just to be unlikable. And as God's people, there's nothing wrong with having people like us. Matter of fact, it's a good thing to have people like us because it's hard to witness to people if they don't like you. All right, and so it is important that people like us and think well of us. Of course, and again, that's a good thing when people like us, but we have to remember that the goodness of that, or whatever the word would be, the goodness of that, of people liking us, is dependent upon why they like us and who it is that likes us. So it's not just not a good thing just to have people like you. It's also important, why do they like me and who is it that likes me? You know, there are some people in this world, especially lost or wicked people, it's probably not a good thing that they like you. There's something wrong because you don't have anything in common, so it wouldn't be necessarily a great thing that they like you. And of course, there's also why they like me. Do they like me because they don't see any difference between me and them? That's a problem. And so it's a good thing to be liked, but at the same time, we have to ask why are we well liked and who it is that likes us so much. And this becomes dangerous when we set out to be well-liked by everyone. To be well-liked by the wrong kind of people. And of course, I'm not going to belabor young people tonight, but this is certainly something that's especially impactful of young people, because young people are those who normally are concerned the most about being well-liked. There comes a point in your life where you're like, who cares who likes me? But when you're younger, you're more concerned about who likes you. You're more concerned about fitting in. You know, with every group and all kinds of groups of people, you don't want to be the outsider, you know, when you're young. And so there's a lot more danger to this when you're younger. Now, again, it's no sin to be well-liked, but never place popularity over reputation. And we're never to place popularity over character or popularity over testimony. All right, nothing wrong with being well-liked, but that should never replace popularity or reputation or character. Don't ever hide or set aside or abandon your testimony as a child of God to be liked by someone or to be popular with a group of people. You don't ever want to... If you have to be ashamed of your testimony as a Christian to be around someone, well, that's someone you don't need to be around, let alone worried about what they think of you. And so we should never give up our reputation in order to be liked. Now, I want you to notice in the text, y'all still with me? Nothing complicated here. I want you to notice in the text that Solomon seems to distinguish between these two valuable things. He says, first of all, to be liked, to be well favored, to be liked, to be well thought of by others, he says is better than silver and gold. He says it's a valuable thing. Again, nothing wrong with it. If you're liked for the right reason, by the right people, nothing wrong with it. I like to be liked by godly people. I like to be liked by people who love the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. He says, and if that's the case, then that's something that's better than silver and gold. But then I want you to notice in the first part of the verse, he says this, a good reputation, a good testimony, he says, to be seen as having godly character or good character is better than great riches. Now, the phrase great riches simply means extensive, abundant, exceedingly full wealth or riches. Which would you prefer tonight? To have some silver and gold or to have extensive, abundant, exceeding wealth? Amen. Well, I would rather have the latter than the former. And so I think there's a distinction here between one being more valuable than the other. They're both valuable. They both have value, but one is more valuable than the other. So if you can be both with some people, that's a valuable thing. But the point here is that we're never to sacrifice our Christian testimony or godly character or reputation to be liked. We're never to sacrifice the greater, which is character and reputation and testimony, to get the lesser, which is to be well favored and liked by everybody. Now again, if we can pull off both, then that's great. But we're never to sacrifice the greater for the lesser. There's little more valuable than a well-earned reputation among the authorities in our lives, especially among God's people. There's not, Paul said, or not Paul, Solomon says very clearly that it's very valuable, more so than silver or gold, more so than exceeding wealth, to have a good testimony, a good character, a good reputation. Amen? Now that's something of value, but now notice this secondly. I want you to notice that this is something that must be earned. Something that must be earned. He says in verse 1 of chapter 22 that a good name is not something that just happens to us. It's not just awarded to us. On the day you got saved, if you're saved, on the day you got saved, they didn't award you with character, right? They didn't award you with a good testimony. It's something that has to be earned. We have to achieve good character or a good testimony. We're told that it's something that has to be, notice what it says in verse 1, a good name is rather to be what, class? Chosen. It has to be chosen. Now, we don't need to do a breakdown of the word chosen. We understand chosen simply means to identify which is the best and go for that. And so he says a reputation or godly testimony is to be chosen. It's something that has to be pursued. We're told it's to be chosen. It means to have a good name. A good name requires a conscious choice. Come on, if you're going to have a good testimony, then you have to make a conscious choice in order to have it. This doesn't happen. People just don't have a good testimony or a reputation for great character. It's something they have chosen to have. It's something that they're pursuing in their life. So a good reputation is something that, having considered the value of it, I make the choice that I want to obtain it. I want to pursue it. I want to have a good character. I want to have a good testimony. I want to be liked at work, but I'm not going to sacrifice a good character in order to obtain it. I'm going to pursue good character and a godly testimony. And if you pursue that, most of the time, most good people will like you anyway. But I'm going to pursue that because that is of more value. There's no end, listen, there's no end to opportunities in this life to have a bad reputation. There's plenty of opportunities. You don't even have to try. You know, you have to choose. This is because we're sinners by nature. You have to choose to have a good reputation. All you have to do is have a bad one is just be yourself. Right, that's all you got to do to have a bad reputation, because we make bad decisions automatically. And so in order to have a good testimony, a reputation for godly character, I've got to choose to have it. So if you and I are to have a good name, a good reputation, people are to have a good opinion of us, so we've got to choose or select to do that. We've got to make the choice in order to pursue it. You can get as I said a minute ago, a bad reputation without even trying. Just follow the crowd. Just follow the world. Just listen to your lost friends. Just listen to your lost family. Just follow worldly believers. Just follow other Christians who are out of God's will. Just follow your flesh. It's all it takes to have a bad reputation or to gain a bad reputation. But you have to choose to determine or work to have a good name. Now, the same thing's true of all of us when it comes to a good name as a Christian. We have to choose it. And if you're to have a good name, then what that means is this, that you say, well, how do you have a good name? Well, you have to manage your life. We have to manage our purpose. We have to manage our life if we're going to have a good name or a good reputation. And we have to do it again on purpose. We have to manage our life. We have to determine to live a life in obedience to God's word, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of who I'm with, regardless of who's around me. I'm going to obey God's word. Are you with me? That's a determination that we have to make. I can't refuse to do that so that I will be liked. I've got everything upside down now. If I'm going to have a good reputation, then I have to make the conscious choice, Brother Trent, and no matter who I'm around, I'm going to obey. I'm going to follow God's word. I've got to make that conscious decision, that choice to do so. I have to purpose to manage my finances, for example, to exercise discipline financially so that I not only avoid grief for myself, but that I also protect my name. Nothing will damage your name among the world faster than making bad financial decisions. Amen? It can hurt your ability to be a testimony to people and to witness for Christ, which is our end goal, isn't it? One of the primary reasons we want a good testimony is so that we can witness for our Savior, so that we can tell others about Christ. I have to purpose to manage my finances. I have to purpose, listen, the list goes on. I've got a purpose to manage my mouth. Yeah. Nothing will shoot your testimony a foot faster than your mouth. Right. Come on, use your mouth, say amen. Amen. You have to purpose in your heart to manage your mouth. You have to purpose to manage your anger. You have to purpose to manage your patience. You have to purpose to manage your courtesy, your actions, your work ethic, to manage your loyalties, to manage your dependability. Some people have a testimony of just late. It's like they have a spiritual gift. You know, my spiritual gift is tardiness. And when the rapture takes place, I'll be the last ones to arrive. Right, so some people, you know, and we should have a testimony for dependability. Just another one of the things we ought to have a testimony for. It's a part of having a good reputation. I have to manage my ethics. If I'm going to choose to have a good name as a child of God, I have to manage my honesty, my trustworthiness, my attitude, my flesh. I have to manage my temptation or worldliness. I have to manage gossip in my life. In other words, I've just got to manage my life because all of these things affect my testimony. They affect how people see us and how people perceive us. And so we have to constantly manage our life. Reputation, if you think about it, reputation is all about managing self. Now, there's all kinds of books on character and reputation. I say this oftentimes. I've just saved you $29.95. Managing your life is what produces reputation. Reputation is about managing life. You can just give me half of that $29.95. Reputation, again, is about managing your life, making wise life decisions and managing the things in your life. It takes work and determination to have a good testimony, being known as a good character. But never forget, listen, you say, well, man, this sounds difficult. It's a lot of work to have good character. It's a lot of work to have a good testimony. I got to manage all this stuff in my life. I have to be constantly on guard for my speech, my patience, my anger, my words. I've got to constantly be on guard if I'm going to protect my testimony. Well, all that's true. But never forget this. It takes a lot of work to have a good name, but it is still far easier to get a good reputation than it is to lose a bad one once you've got it. Can I say that again? It's a lot less work to have a good reputation than it is to get rid of a bad one once you have it. And so it's a lot easier to maintain and to have a good reputation. Listen, young people, the reputation you're making for yourself right now will follow you. And you don't ever want to forget this. This is so important. It is hard to change people's minds once you've earned a bad one. I'm going to say that again because I want to hear myself say it again. Young people, it's just true of all of us, but especially as young people, once you've earned a bad reputation, it is hard to get rid of it. Once you earn a reputation for being undependable, it's hard to get rid of it. Once you've earned a reputation for being around the wrong kind of people or having a bad attitude or being rebellious, it's hard to get rid of it. It takes a lot longer to get rid of it than it does to earn it. Isn't that true? Once your actions or your appearance or your attitude or your behavior and so on form people's opinion of you, it is hard to change. Have you noticed this? It's hard to change people's minds. And that's certainly true when it comes to us. If you don't manage your life to have a good name, it takes a lot longer to change people's minds. And that's true of all of us as God's people. You know, if you lose your temper one time at work, it takes a lot longer to change people's minds about it. Now you've established a testimony of having a bad temper, and it takes a long time to change people's minds. Or impatience, or being undependable, or whatever it may be. So never forget. Y'all still with me? Never forget that there's a difference, though, and just to reemphasize this one more time, there's a difference between popularity and reputation. Popularity has more to do with how my acquaintances see me. That's popularity. How my friends see me. Whereas reputation has a lot more to do with how the authorities in my life, how the people in my life who are important see me. It doesn't matter what that guy at work thinks about me. Unless it's your boss, maybe. It doesn't matter what he thinks of me. But it matters what my parents think of me. Listen, my dad was way into his 80s when he died. I was 60 when my dad died. And it still mattered to me what he thought of me. Because he was an authority in my life that matters. Now, he probably wasn't as serious about the Lord as I am, but it still mattered to me what he thought. It matters to me what my pastors thought of me growing up, what my teachers thought of me. All those things mattered to me because they were the people whose opinion really made a difference in my life. And really mattered. Rather than trying to convince somebody at work how cool I am. Which would be hard for me because I'm so uncool, I don't even know that cool is not a thing anymore. All right? So it matters what the people who are important in our life think of. If you don't manage your life to have a good name, like I said, it can take a long time to change somebody's mind, which is something we all need to remember. Now, never forget, again, that there's a difference between popularity and reputation. Popularity has more to do with how your peers see you, whereas reputation has more to do how godly people see you and those we should love. Reputation involves people who truly matter. Look over in the book of Luke, if you will. Reputation involves people who truly matter. This is why the Bible warns us constantly not to be fooled by popularity. Just because all those people at work like you doesn't mean you have character. It's not the same as reputation. In Luke chapter 6, look what it says in verse 22. Luke 6 and verse 22. This is odd, isn't it? Verse 22. Blessed are ye. I'll wait on you. Luke 6:22. Everybody got it? Okay, Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Then it says in verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak what? Well of you. He says, if you're a child of God. Now again, please, we're not supposed to go around and be nasty just because we know how. But the point is, if every lost person you know loves you and speaks well of you, something's wrong someplace. He says it shouldn't surprise us when people separate. The word hate doesn't mean necessarily that they despise us, but they don't have any necessarily love for us, and they separate. They don't want to be around us because we're talking about Jesus all the time. They don't want to be around us because we're not going to go to the bar with them. We don't want to hear their filthy humor. Amen. We don't want to hear their filthy jokes. We're not watching the same stuff, so we don't have anything to talk about when it comes to entertainment. We're not listening to the same kind of music. We don't even know who they are singing that are singing now. And so as a result of that, they separate because we have nothing in common, so it shouldn't surprise us when they do so. And we shouldn't strive to win their favor. Now, we should strive to be respected in the sense that we can witness to them. We don't have to be a jerk about it. And we can be smart in how we interact with them, but at the same time, we're told to be careful and warned about popularity and striving to be popular. And, you know, you got to be careful with this, but the truth is, if the world loves us, there's a good chance there's something wrong someplace because we don't have all this stuff in common. As the culture becomes more and more secular, it gets harder and harder to be popular and please God. Those two things are going to get more and more difficult. And there are a lot of people who are popular in our culture, but they don't know the Lord. And their decisions show it. And so we don't want to confuse these two. So to summarize this up to this point, listen. Reputation or a good name is how others see me, especially those who are an authority in my life, those who really matter. It's something that I have to choose to have, then manage my life in order to obtain it and to keep it. If you're going to have a good testimony, you've got to pursue it. You've got to decide to have it. You have to make the choice to have it. You have to run your life and manage your life in order to obtain it. And when I obtain it, it's worth more. The Bible says that when I obtain it, it's worth more than the chiefest wealth, the most expensive wealth. Because as a child of God, it's what enables me to serve the Lord. My testimony reflects on my Lord. My testimony is what enables me to serve. It opens up opportunities for me to serve. You know, we don't give people opportunities to serve in Calvary Baptist Church who have a bad testimony or who don't manage their life. It gives you an opportunity to serve. It gives you an opportunity to be a testimony. It gives you an opportunity to witness, and it reflects on my Lord. It's my testimony is what I leave behind in the mind of others when I'm gone. It's not the same thing as being liked by my friends, which is popularity. And when it comes to other people in my life, there's nothing better than to be trusted. There's nothing better than to be held in the right form of high regard by the right kind of people. Solomon says in 22:1, it's worth more than great riches to have a great testimony. Are you with me? Nothing better than to have a godly testimony as a child of God. And then thirdly, I want you to notice this thirdly, that not only is it more valuable? Is it a thing more valuable than gold? Not only is it something that we have to pursue, we have to choose, but then thirdly, lastly, it's something we have to protect. It's something that has to be protected. It's been rightly said, I don't know who said it, but it's been rightly said that a reputation of 1,000 years can be destroyed in a single day. I'm not that smart, so I always word it this way. People never remember how you ran. They only remember how you finished. Doesn't matter, you can have a good testimony for years, and one day, one decision, one choice, erase it from people's minds. Amen? It's so easy to do. Reputation, and the reason why that's so, this will encourage you, the reason why this is so is because reputation is never secured. You never secure your reputation. You're constantly securing your reputation. You're guarding your reputation. You're guarding your testimony. No, listen, nobody here tonight can say, you know what, I'm good now. I don't have to worry about it anymore. My reputation, my testimony is secure until the day I die. I don't have to worry about it anymore. No, we all have to worry about it because our testimony, our reputation is never secure. We're constantly, day in and day out, securing and building our reputation and our testimony. We can't afford to go to sleep on the job because we're constantly securing our reputation. When it comes to a godly reputation, people don't remember what kind of reputation. Listen, people don't remember what kind of reputation you had yesterday. They only remember the one you have today. Doesn't matter how good a guy you were yesterday. If you do something stupid today, doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter. You know, they don't care that you didn't steal anything for 47 years, but they care that you stole it today. Right? They don't care that you haven't lost your temper the whole time they've known you. You lost it today. They don't care that you have never said anything unkind. They care that you said it today. And so reputation is something that is constantly being secured, constantly being on guard. And here's the sad thing. Isn't this sad? A reputation is those things that is never secured. And what you did yesterday, your good reputation yesterday, doesn't really count toward today. But a bad one is remembered forever. People will forget your good reputation in a day when you mess up. But once you mess up, it takes forever to get them to forget your bad reputation. And so it's something that is constantly, we have to constantly be on guard with. Which means that I must not only earn my reputation, but I have to be careful to protect it. Listen, if you had a lot of silver and a lot of gold, and if you had exceeding wealth, I'm pretty sure you would do everything within your power to protect it. Wouldn't you? Come on, you just wouldn't, you know, I got a bunch of wealth, so who cares? I'll just leave the door open. It doesn't matter. Somebody gets into it, who cares? I don't need a safe. I don't need a bank. You know, I'm not worried about it. Somebody takes it, they take it. Well, people think you're an idiot. You know, if we had gold, I don't have silver or gold, and I sure don't have exceeding wealth, but I protect what I got. All right? Now, what Solomon's telling us, what the scripture tells us, is that if you have a good reputation, you have something more valuable than that. And so if that's the case, then we certainly should be, biblically, we should be more concerned about protecting our reputation and our testimony than we are protecting our silver and our gold. Now, you didn't seem excited about that, but what the Bible says, we should be more concerned about protecting our reputation, our character, than we are protecting the stuff that we have. Most of you, I'm assuming, lock your doors at night. I lock my doors. I set the alarm, right? I keep some welcome stuff next to my bed. in case somebody gets through the door and passes the alarm, all right, so my wife can defend us. And so I'm protecting what I've got, and I'm watching out for what I have. And we go to so much trouble to do that. It isn't a shame how little care we sometimes take of our reputation and our testimony, our character. And Solomon says that it's more valuable than that. Now, since reputation is a thing, and I'll finish with this thought. Since a reputation is a thing better than the chiefest of wealth, it means that you and I always need to be careful to protect it. I need to be careful of what I say. I need to be careful what I do. I need to be careful of what I post. Yes. Amen? Because there's never been a day in which I've been alive where character is so easily lost than in the social media age that we're in. I need to be careful what I like. Amen? Boy, do me a favor. Read something before you like it. All right? Well, that's neat. I'll just like it. And then somebody comes along later and says, why did you like that? Well, I didn't know. Well, you should have read it. All right? And liking it is signing it. And so we need to be careful what we post, what we like, because I need to be protecting my... Be careful who you follow. How many times do we preach in churches and to our young people, if you want to know who someone is, look at their what? Look at their friends. Look at who their friends are. You want to know who somebody is? Look at who they follow. Same principle. That was for free. All right. Protect your reputation. I don't follow anybody, so it's pretty easy. But I don't want people wondering about me because of who I follow or who I'm liking or who I'm posting on, because I want to protect my reputation. It's more valuable to me, right? It's not worth cat memes, all right, to be on there and ruin my reputation, all right? Just not worth it, because I know that's all I look at is the cat memes. That's all I look at. I don't really look at anything or follow anything. I don't really read that stuff. I just, yeah, right, whatever. So I need to be careful to protect my own reputation. But going along with that, since this is so valuable, and I'll finish with this, I need to also be careful about protecting the reputation of others. It's not just about my reputation. It's about protecting the reputation of others. You know, no one has enough money, according to Solomon, to buy back a good reputation. And so I need to protect mine, but I need to protect yours. Not just mine. I also need to be protecting yours as well. So why the Bible has so much to say about how God hates gossip. And why God hates backbiting. And why? Because they destroy reputation. You know, a lot of God's people would never think of stealing silver or gold from somebody else. A lot of God's people never think, well, I wouldn't steal, you know, Brother Morgan's silver or gold or his exceeding wealth that he has. I wouldn't steal those things from him. But sometimes God's people are so careless about stealing something Solomon says is more valuable, and that's the reputation of another child of God. So we ought to be protective of our own reputation, but we ought to also be protective of others' reputation. This has never been more true today, again, than the way people attack reputation of others without thought, because the social media makes it so easy. Because people will say, you know this, people say stuff online that they would never, ever, ever say to your face. Ever. And so because that, it's so easy to do so. Reputation is a part of why God established a particular law. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. God's concerned about our reputation, but he's also concerned about how we deal with and handle the reputation of others. And I just got to be honest with you, it's shocking, especially since the social media age. You know, this whole cancel culture age that we talk about concerning the world, but God's people are just about as bad. And how carelessly we handle people's reputation. And that's a part of why God established some of these laws that he did. Now, this one talks about pastors, but we can make application of it to everybody. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19, it says this, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Then that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. If he messes up, then he deserves to pay the price for it. But you don't just believe everything you hear. Because reputation is important. Again, we can make application of that to everyone. Matthew 18, look over there if you will. Matthew 18. Matthew 18 and verse 16. When it comes to everyone, verse 15, or if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, take with thee two or more than in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. In other words, he says, when we start dealing with people, truth matters. What really happened, what was really said, what was really done, all of that matters because it goes to reputation. Context matters. What's said matters. What was done matters. All of that matters because it's not just, listen, if it's coming my way, I want it to matter. Yeah. Amen. And if I'm dealing with you, then I should be concerned about your reputation as well as my own reputation. Deuteronomy 17, look over there if you will. Just about done here. Deuteronomy 17, I got 2 minutes. Deuteronomy, probably won't make it in 2 minutes, but we'll make it close to that. Deuteronomy 17. God gives us this law in the New Testament. He says when we start dealing with other people's reputation, then we need to know what we're talking. Two or three witnesses, the idea, we need to know what the truth is. We need to understand the truth, and we need to operate based on the truth. And again, social media culture that we're in today, it's just amazing. Somebody will, once it's posted, it's true. Next thing you know, you got 100 people on there going, wow, I can see that. I agree. Well, we need to make sure that it's the truth. Amen. Deuteronomy 17, look in verse 1. All of this is based on an Old Testament principle. Deuteronomy 17, verse 1. But thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or any sheep wherein is a blemish or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. And if there be found among you any within the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods, worship them, either the sun or the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such an abomination hath wrought in Israel. Stop for just a second. This is a pretty important accusation. He says, if you hear that somebody is offering sacrifices to Baal, for example, you've heard it, you've been told that, you know it, and you have diligently searched and found it to be absolutely true. Then he goes on and says, such a thing is an abomination wrought in Israel. Then shalt thou bring forth that man and that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones that they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. In other words, he establishes his truth that before we're not going to stone people, but before we assassinate someone's character, then there needs to be evidence of it. And it shouldn't just be hearsay. It shouldn't be something we just repeat, because I wouldn't want people doing that to me, and we shouldn't want to do it to anyone else either. And then notice what he says. He says this, if you attack a person's reputation under Old Testament law, if you attacked a person's reputation concerning sin, then you are required to be active in the punishment of it. So I go up and I say, you know, that brother Sam, him and Diane been worshiping Baal, you know, and I've seen it. I saw him doing it. He was chanting and doing all kinds of weird stuff. And so he was serving Baal, right? And so I go tell somebody, you know, that's Sam, in Old Testament, this Old Testament, New Testament, I post online, I saw Sam Barney's worshiping Baal. And so that's a serious matter. And so he says, the scriptures say that I'm not supposed to touch that unless I have evidence and before two or three witnesses. That's just completely confirmed. And then he says this, though. He says, if you attack someone's reputation concerning sin, then you're required to be active in the punishment of it. Now, Brother Sam's punishment would be stoning. So if I'm the one who brought the accusation, I would be responsible to be part of the stoning. I would have to throw the first stone. We dealt with that with Stephen, did we not? Paul held their coats when he made accusation. Look what it says in verse 7 of this passage, Deuteronomy 19:7, or 7, or 17:7, I mean. It says in 17:7, at the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people, so that they'll put evil away. So before I made an accusation about somebody, I had to be willing to throw the first stone. I had to be willing to participate in the punishment of it. I couldn't hide. I couldn't hide behind the tent flap and make an accusation. I couldn't make an accusation anonymously. You know, I couldn't make an accusation online or on social media. I couldn't make it behind a computer screen. I had to face the person and take responsibility for it. And it gets better if you wrongly attacked someone's reputation thoughtlessly or purposely, seeking to do them harm. Then you had to take whatever it is you tried to do to them. Deuteronomy 19, look over there if you will. If I falsely accused Brother Sam of worshiping Baal, and it's found out that I didn't check everything out, or I wouldn't be completely honest, I was trying to get him stoned, well, then I get to get stoned because I get whatever I was trying to do to him. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. No, we should never take one person's word about anything, or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall a matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be false and hath testified falsely against his brother, then ye shall do unto him as he hath thought to do unto his brother, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. So he says, but if you're going to make an accusation about somebody, then you had to participate in the punishment of it. And if you turned out to be making it up, or you just repeated something you heard that wasn't true, then what was going to happen to him is going to happen to you. Now, I'm not saying that we should go stone people because they made an accusation. Sometimes I'd like to, but we shouldn't do that. But the point is, we should need to understand how serious God is about protecting reputation and character. That you just don't believe something because you heard it. You just don't repost something or like something. You just don't repeat stuff. You just don't go around saying things about people unless they're true, absolutely true. God was serious about protecting the reputation of innocent people. You know, people too oftentimes say things about other people. They make little comments or observations or repeat things or post things or like things without thought of reputation. Every time, listen tonight, every time we say something about another person, it goes to reputation. Good or bad, it goes to reputation. If I say something good about you, that goes to reputation. If I say something evil about you or questionable about you, that goes to reputation. Everything we say goes to... I want to maintain my reputation. And I want people to be protective of my reputation. And I want to be protective of other people's reputation because that's part of it. So before we repeat something or start something or spread something about another person, something we heard, something we think we understood, something we thought we saw, we need to think of what I might do to their reputation. So before we post something or like something or believe something we heard or repost it or comment on it, we need to think about what it does to reputation. It may seem, listen, our flesh, the reason we do this, the reason why social media is so big is because it's satisfying to the flesh. Well, that's not a lie. It's satisfying to the flesh to hear something. That's why we watch and listen to it. That's why we read it, because it's satisfying to the flesh. Shouldn't be, but it is. But it's damaging to a person's reputation. We're helping to damage someone else's reputation. Don't justify it by claiming, well, I'm just standing up for righteousness. Well, if that's the case, go talk to them. Personally, one-on-one. The only difference between a backbiter and an assassin is an assassin kills the body, a gossiper and a backbiter kills reputation. It's the only difference between the two. So we need to be protective of our reputation, but I need to be protective of your reputation as well. Amen? Because a reputation is something that's hard to gain and so easy to lose. You know how social media is. It's just like us, how quick we are to believe an evil thing. And listen, unfortunately, reputation, accurate or not, is based on the opinions of other people. And so this means that no matter how hard you work at disciplining or managing your life, there may be someone who has a low view of your reputation for some untrue reason or simply because they don't like you. And it's amazing how quickly people will embrace that. Just as they did to the Lord. You know, some will even lie about reputation. Others will hold low reputation just simply because of your position with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me tie this up because I get too far afield here. But we need to be concerned about our reputation. Amen? Because it's more valuable than silver and gold. I got to work every day to maintain it. If I blow it in one day, it's going to take time to rebuild it. So it's easier just to protect it every single day. And if that's more there's nothing more valuable than your word, than your reputation as a God, as God's people. Amen. Nothing should be more valuable. Now, I understand in the world it means nothing. It seems like in the world, the lower your reputation, the more popular you are. But among God's people, it ought to be something of great wealth for us, something of great value for us, something that we need to protect. Some people, it doesn't matter how hard you work to protect your reputation, they're going to assassinate it. There's going to be people who are going to say mean things about you, ugly things about you, and without thought of what it's going to do to your reputation. They don't care if 1,000 people see it. It goes right to reputation. So I can't always protect my reputation. I can't keep people from posting things about me. You can't keep people from saying things about you. You can't protect your reputation. But when you can't protect your reputation, we need to make sure we protect our character. Reputation is what people think I am. Character is what I am. I can't change what people think about me, but I can have an effect on what I am. Reputation comes from without. Character comes from within. Reputation is what I am when I'm with others. Character is what I am when I'm alone. Reputation is how you get a job or responsibility. Character is how you keep it. Reputation is what precedes you. It's what you have when you arrive. Character is what you leave behind when you're gone. And when we can't protect our reputation due to an attack or false accusation, protect your character. Don't prove them right by ruining your reputation in response. Amen. Just put it in the hands of the Lord and trust God to take care of it. Listen, we need to be protective of our testimony. It's so important that we have a good, godly testimony. We can't accomplish much else for Christ without a good, solid testimony. You say, well, I got saved later in life and I've got this horrible testimony. Well, just be consistent, be faithful, and in time, you gain a good testimony. Amen? Just be consistent in what you are. Don't be on again, off again. Just say, I'm going to serve God. I've had a bad testimony up to this point, a bad reputation. But you know what? Starting today, I can have a good one in Christ, and I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen? And have a good reputation for Him. If you've got a good reputation, man, don't ruin it. Don't blow it. It's not worth it. 1,000 years to get it, a day to lose it. And we should care about what people who are important in our life think about us. Amen? Not someone at work. We need to struggle, strive, and have a good reputation. Why don't you stand with me if you will. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll have a verse of invitation. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, you know what? I need to work on a reputation. Maybe you've been worried too much about what the wrong people think. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, you know what? I just need to worry about what the people who are important in my life think. That's all that really matters. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, you know what, I know what you mean. Somebody has said something about me that kind of goes to character, but I'm not gonna let it get me down. I'm gonna just keep serving God and serving Him. Maybe you've said something about somebody. You need to come tonight, an old-fashioned altar, and say, God, forgive me. I said some things about this person, and I understand tonight that it's just not something I've said, but it goes to their character. Whatever it might be tonight, you can certainly come.